With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is The Good Life, food, wine, and all the good things of life. Now, here's the host of The Good Life, Guy Bauer.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the program. I hope you had a great week. I hope the weekend's even better. And if you're not in the kitchen cooking with a glass of wine, you're out where the buses don't run, and there's only one person that can fix it, and that would be you. But I want you to know that this book, when I first got the press release for the book, I got a little tingly. I looked at some of the media stuff, and then I got a copy of the book. This book is, it's big. It's called Peas, Love, and Carrots, the cookbook. So you can get it. It's P-E-A-S, Love and Carrots. And it's by my guest. She's coming to us. She's just a little far away, not that close. She's in Israel. Her name is Danielle Renov. Is it Renov or Renov?
Renov. You said it perfectly.
All right. And she does this popular blog. You've got to go look at it. It is, to call it just a blog, meaning she writes some things, is just inadequate. It is, of course, peasloveandcarrots.com. She's also on Instagram, and boy, wait till you see some of the videos she's done. You get to meet her kids. And the only difference is you're not sitting there getting ready to eat the food. Danielle, welcome to the program, and thanks for technology that brings us together.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here. A little envious of your, you know, Montana dwelling on the Missouri River right now. That's amazing.
Yeah, I wanna go back. I'm always interested in hearing the story that led you to today, and I know it could be long, and it's okay. I want to hear, obviously, you grew up in this country, if I remember right, and tell us your background that in food and what led you to not only put this book together, but to host this most popular blog, Peas, Love, and Carrots.
Okay. So I grew up in Long Island, New York. I was born in New York. My father was also born in New York. His father's Eastern European, came over after the Holocaust to America, married my grandmother. My mother is actually an immigrant. She was born in Morocco, lived in Morocco for a long time, then was raised in Paris, and came to the U.S. as a young adult. And they met, got married, and, you know, really created a home where they were able to fuse and really marry their two very, very different cultures, and mostly in the kitchen, because, you know, that's where, like, a lot of family life happens, at least in our house. You know, I'm in my room, my brother's outside, one other brother's with his friends, and, you know, somehow we all meet in the kitchen, you know, at different parts of the day. And my mother did a really, really wonderful job of respecting my father's culture and learning to cook the foods he loved and grew up with, and, you know, could easily make hamburgers and hot dogs, but also make, you know, a really typical Jewish corned beef or roast beef sandwich. And, you know, the next day make the most delicious Moroccan cigars or fifletto matez and traditional Moroccan dishes, and sometimes even serve Moroccan and American food at the same meal. And we really grew up with a respect of cultures that came through food. And I absolutely loved that. And then I got married 13 years ago, and my husband and I moved to Israel. And Israel itself is a melting pot of cultures because, you know, it's only 70-something years old. And it's really made up of immigrants, of, you know, of people that came from all over the world, that came from, you know, Poland and Germany and Hungary and Russia, and also Turkey and Iran and Syria and Lebanon and Greece and Morocco. And all of these cultures sort of came into Israel and merged and created something unique that we now call Israeli cuisine, which is really little bits of goodness borrowed from all these cultures. And, you know, then I came here with my already, you know, mashup of cultures and mashed it up even more. And, you know, I love to cook and I really wanted to bring that kind of inclusivity and unification to people. And that's what my book is about.
Well, you know, I just...
There's something for everyone.
I have never been to Israel. I have spent a lot of time in Turkey. And I've flown all over the Mediterranean in my Air Force career. But I can just imagine on the day that you go to the market or early evening walking through a residential neighborhood and all the different smells from the different kitchens.
Exactly.
That would be
It's really incredible. You know, people don't think of Israel as a Mediterranean country, but really our coastline is the Mediterranean.
Yeah.
And we really get the best of all worlds because we have so much, you know, obviously Middle Eastern influences mixed with the fresh brightness of, you know, Mediterranean cuisine. And it all lands here in our open air market. Oh. And it's wonderful.
I guess. We talk a little bit about just... Is there, if somebody said, what is cuisine in Israel like? What is Israeli cuisine? You touched on it. It's a melting pot of a bunch of different cultures. But is there things that are inherently different than what some people in America would, or in the U.S. would think of Jewish food? And then they would probably think of Jewish holiday cuisine. What is everyday food?
So Israeli cuisine is really much more than that. There is the Jewish food, but Jewish American food is mostly Ashkenazic food, not Sephardic food.
Okay.
And Israel has a very, very, very strong Sephardic influence. So a lot of the food here, you know, contains a lot of fresh spices and cumin and, you know, very, very vegetable heavy, a lot of stews and braises, things like that. That would be like, you know, a lot of lamb dishes, a lot of like protein mixed with fruit type of situation. But then, you know, the typical everyday food in Israel really is what you think of, you know, falafel, shawarma, tchina, hummus, the good stuff.
Oh, the good stuff. This is not fair. I'm sitting here thumbing through the book while you're talking and it's making my day hungry. How about the difference in shopping? Because let's face it, if you like to cook, you almost get some of that same enjoyment when you go to the market, if you go to a well-staffed and presented grocery store. The difference between New York and then going to Israel must have been significant, I'm guessing.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I love this question. That is actually why I started my blog. You know, when I moved here 13 years ago, Israel actually in the last 13 years has really progressed. But there was no big box supermarket. There was little makolet. So makolet is a word for like, it's literally one room, you know, it's probably, you know, 10 meters, like 100 square feet. And it has, you know, dry goods on one wall, a small refrigeration section and things like that. And you could get your basic staples there. But if you want the chicken, you have to go to the open air market and you have to go to the chicken guy and you have to go to the meat guy and you have to go to the fish guy and you have to go to the guy that sold herbs. And then you have to go to the guy that sold stone fruit and the watermelon guy to get the watermelon. Now there are more big box grocery stores where you can sort of do it all in one. But I think if you already moved here pre that, you already understand that the good stuff really goes to the guys that specialize in what they do in the open air market. So it was a big adjustment because, you know, my culinary vocabulary in Hebrew was really poor. So I didn't know how to say, you know, can I have a chicken cut into 8 pieces without skin? I didn't know how to say, can you remove the bones from my fish? I had to learn a whole new vocabulary in Hebrew. And so what I did on my blog was I created a Hebrew English culinary dictionary for, you know, all the words that you can't think of, like pumpkin seeds and bones and skin and filet and, you know, things that we so easily take for granted when we go to our fishmonger in New York. And then you get to Israel and you're like, salmon? Like, you don't know how to describe it. So you will go home with an entire fish because you're too embarrassed because you don't know how to say, can you cut it into pieces for me?
I can't imagine. I can absolutely imagine because I've been there when I was in the military and in Turkey and in Spain and, you know, but I think I had more fun doing that and meeting the people that sold the food and grew the food, raised the food versus the food in a, you know, a styrofoam container covered in plastic wrap, you know.
Absolutely. You know, and growing up in New York, I knew there were seasons for food because I knew the strawberries tasted better in the summer than in the winter, but I didn't know that meant you couldn't get the strawberries in the winter.
There you go.
And, you know, here I moved to Israel and oh my gosh. So I'm realizing that, you know, I moved in the beginning of September and here our seasons are actually different. We actually only get strawberries in the winter here, which is very interesting, but our seasons don't translate to American seasons. Mm-hmm. And I'm like looking for strawberries because I want to make something. And, you know, I just left New York where strawberries are at their peak and I can't find strawberries anywhere. And I asked the guy at the fruit store and, you know, somehow we were able to converse. He explains to me that it's not the season. So I see bananas. So for the next 2 months, I'm buying bananas like they're going out of style because the strawberries are not here. Maybe the bananas are going to disappear. And my husband loves banana cake. I got to make banana cake every week because they're going to disappear. Finally, after like 2 months of living here, literally I made banana cake every single weekend for Shabbos. Every weekend for the Sabbath, I made a banana cake. I say to the fruit guy, I'm like, when are the bananas leaving? He's like, oh, bananas are here all year.
Hey, you can never be too prepared.
So the next time I came in with a pen and pencil, I'm like, please tell me the seasons. I made a list of fruits and vegetables. I'm like, when is this here? When is this here? When is this here? And that's really, you know, I started because I'm an extrovert and I'm outgoing and I'll ask the questions and I'll talk to people. But I know a lot of people are shy and uncomfortable and I really wanted to make that information accessible to people.
Well, I think you have done that. Before we talk about the book, I have some other questions, but we need to take a quick break. And when we do, we'll come back. We'll talk more with my guest from Israel, Daniel Renov. The book is called Peas, P-E-A-S, Love and Carrots. It's so much more than a cookbook. If you couldn't read, you could enjoy this book by looking at the pictures. In fact, you could be inspired to cook some of the recipes, make them up yourself just by looking at the pictures. But hopefully you can read. If you only had the first two chapters, 86 Things and Foundations, and we'll tell you about that. You'd want the book, and we're going to give away a copy a little bit later. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.